This is Dr. Robert Abley shining a spotlight on freedom, which you can also hear on my website, spotlightonfreedom.com. Last week, we made an argument that we are now seeing fascism as the reigning political philosophy in America, given the giant taxpayer bailout of corporate America, among other issues. This week, we need to discuss what we can do about it. Let us begin with where we frequently begin these commentaries, in the philosophy of democracy that formed this republic. We begin then with John Locke, since he was widely acclaimed by our founders as one of their primary influences. In his two treatises of government, Locke argues that a democratic government may be dissolved by its people when any of several things occur. First, when the legislative branch either enables or otherwise does not stand up to schemes by the executive to consolidate his power or act otherwise against the interests of the people. Second, when the executive branch acts in such a way that laws already made are not put into execution. Third, when either the legislative or executive branch acts against the trust of the people by invading the property or fortunes of the people for their own ends. Fourth, when the people find themselves exposed to the arbitrary ill usage of political power. Fifth, if a long train of abuses, prevarications, and artifices all tending the same way make the design visible to the people, 'tis not to be wondered that they should then rouse themselves and endeavor to put the rule into such hands which may secure to them the ends for which government was first erected. Next, let us turn to the use of Locke's ideas in the Declaration of Independence. The first two paragraphs of the Declaration state precisely what we just reviewed in Locke. In fact, Jefferson copied some of the words of the first two paragraphs of the Declaration of Independence directly from Locke. But note what Jefferson does in the Declaration. Whereas Locke only sets the groundwork for a theory of democracy, Jefferson details precisely when it is that government may be dissolved and replaced by a new one. These conditions for fighting against an established government include the ongoing refusal to assent to laws necessary for the public good. Read that as warrantless domestic spying and the refusal of the legislature to rein it in. Jefferson adds refusal of assent to laws for establishing judiciary powers. Read that as the Patriot Act and the overwhelming support the Congress had not only for it, but for making it permanent. Jefferson continues on, keeping among us in times of peace standing armies without the consent of the legislature and rendering the military independent of civil authority. Read that as Blackwater. Jefferson punctuates his call for rebellion in the face of such government abuses of power in a letter to Abigail Adams, in which he says that the spirit of resistance to government is so valuable on certain occasions that I wish it to always be kept alive. I like a little rebellion now and then. It is like a storm in the atmosphere. Here is what Thomas Paine had to say about the need for revolt. If we hold to the principles of our founding revolution, that is, freedom, equality, property, and resistance to oppression, we will not have a problem in maintaining our democracy. However, when the emolument or aggrandizement of particular descriptions of men or families comes to trump our valued principles of equality and freedom of all, then revolution against that form of government becomes likely. Read this as not only the continuing tax cuts for the wealthy and for corporations, but the $700 billion bailout, which is nothing else than corporate welfare. Paine goes on to say that the only reason for staggering society so as to privilege the few is when utility requires it. Presumably, Paine means that elites are required for the full functioning of a democratic society. But there is no argument from utility for what we are seeing now, for bailing out the wealthy elite of Wall Street without penalty, while the people suffer as a consequence. No one in Congress has even asked the question whether or not the bailout is necessary, and this is where any questions of utility might arise. Now that we have established the conditions when revolt against government is not only sanctioned but necessary, we have only to apply these conditions to our present circumstance and examine the means by which the revolt must occur. One who has been keeping informed can already apply the concrete actions of the President and Congress to these areas for which rebellion against them is necessary. The obvious solution in such a revolt is to vote out of office all those who have supported the move to fascism, starting with the two inept leaders of the Democrats, Nancy Pelosi and Harry Reid. I'm realistic enough to understand that this is probably not going to happen all at once in November, but we can certainly make steps toward that goal by talking to as many people as we can and by whatever means available, starting with personal conversations and planning public events, all the way to using our media, what used to be called the public airwaves, to inform and to educate. But until the voters speak out in mass rebellion against these corporate leaders and enablers, no movement of government back to democracy will be possible in this country. Even now, we can no longer really claim to be a democracy, except in the practice of voting for which corporate pawns we want to take the place of the others. And that is democracy in name only, not in practice. Robert Abley, SpotlightOnFreedom.com.